Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March the 3rd. And welcome to our commentary. Just a couple of quick things I wanted to mention today. I have a post over at the American Thinker Friday morning. You should be able to see it at the American Thinker. You can always check it over in my blog. You know, I always post things on my blog that originate at the American Thinker. But in this particular post that I have at the American Thinker, I'm talking about this topic of Cuban doctors in Mexico. What is going on here? It's really a sham. The Cuban government, in order to raise foreign exchange, in other words, in order to make dollars, because their economy is having a serious liquidity crunch, so in order to get dollars, what they do is they send Cuban doctors to other countries. And these Cuban doctors basically work for the government. So the Cuban government collects dollars or euros or whatever from the country, let's say Mexico in this case, but then they turn around and they pay in Cuban pesos to the Cuban doctors. These Cuban doctors have no, you know, freedom to negotiate. They're basically sent, and their families are left behind so that they cannot defect or seek asylum. It is really a sham, and I'm really surprised that Mexico is going along with it. There's also another problem, as I mentioned in my post at the American Thinker, that there are many people in Mexico who are not happy with this because many of these doctors don't meet the medical standards that Mexican doctors have to meet. And there's a great disenchantment in Mexico. There's great anger. You know, why are you bringing these people into our country who are not even qualified to be doctors in Mexico? And, you know, you're doing so at the expense of Mexican doctors. So it's a little bit of a scandal in Mexico, but the real problem is what this is doing to the Cuban doctors who are being used by the Cuban government. And sadly, the government of López Obrador, President López Obrador in Mexico, is participating in a scam. I mean, a total, complete scam. So check out my post over at the American Thinker. They also put it over at Babaloo Blog on Friday evening. So if you follow me at Babaloo Blog, or you follow me at the American Thinker, or you follow me on my blog, you will be able to see the article in all of those three places. But it originated, of course, at the American Thinker, where I originate most of my writing. So check it out. And speaking of Mexico, we also have a very good video that we recorded on Thursday afternoon with Therese Margolis, who is the editor of Pulse News Mexico. This is a really good Mexican website that features all of the latest economic and political news from Mexico. And we discussed a couple of things, this topic of the doctors, but we also spoke a little bit about the electoral problem in Mexico, the López Obrador administration wishing to change some of the election laws and the problems that is creating in Mexico itself. And we talked about something a little bit interesting to me, and that is that I have never seen so many divisions in Mexico as I see now. The Mexican population is deeply divided at the moment, and there's great hostility between people, to the point that talking about politics in Mexico can often be as difficult as talking about politics in the United States. And it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way. I mean, there were always political passions in Mexico, but not to the extremes and not the divisions that we're seeing now. So check out my video with Therese Margolis, the editor of Pulse News Mexico. I think you'll find her analysis very interesting. And also check out my post at the American Thinker. Quickly, I want to point out that school choice is moving forward in Texas. Exactly what type of school choice we will have and what it will look like. Is it going to be vouchers? Is it going to be something else? That they're still working on at the legislature. But the objective that we will have school choice is very much on track. And I think Texas will join other Republican states, other so-called red states, and giving parents the opportunity to choose their schools. And I think it's a great move. And I hope that the governor and the Republican majority go through with it. Now, the opposition, of course, is coming from many Democrats who basically are protecting the teachers union and the education bureaucracy. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why they are motivated to do this. But I think the public understands the benefits of school choice. I think enough Texans understand that school choice is a better option for the parents and for the kids. You're seeing it reflected in the number of people who are doing homeschooling, the number of people who are doing whatever they can to put their kids in some kind of a private school, be it Christian schools or Catholic schools, have becoming very popular. In fact, I have a friend who's very familiar with the Catholic schools here in the what we call the Metroplex here in North Texas. And he was telling me that the phones at the Catholic schools are constantly ringing. And it's parents calling the Catholic schools saying, how can I get my kid into your school? How can I pull my kid from public education and put it in your school? So there's great dissatisfaction with public education. And when you look at some of the results that we're getting from places like Chicago, like Baltimore, I mean, in the city of Baltimore, something like 23 schools, the kids cannot perform at the grades that they are graduating. How in the world is that good? How in the world are the leaders of the educational departments in places like Baltimore and Chicago, how do these people keep their jobs? I mean, if they were running a company, they would have been fired a long time ago for doing such a lousy job. So I think school choice is coming. I think it's coming. And it's only a matter of time before it gets here in Texas, as well as most of the red states will have it. A lot of the blue states are not going to have it because the teachers' union is very strong. I mean, it's just simply that. The teachers' union has tremendous power over the Democrats, so it's never going to happen in those states. But I think here in Texas and in other places in the so-called red states, I think you will see it happen. Let's talk about 2024. Look, right now, a lot of people are positioning themselves for 2024. Some candidates have already declared, like Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, like former President Trump. There's all kinds of speculation about others, like obviously Governor DeSantis, former Secretary Pompeo. So there's a lot of people who are trying to or are talking about getting into the race. There's also a great deal of conversation about President Biden. Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? But here's how I look at it. I think it's way too early for anybody to get excited about 2024. I know that politics can be a fun thing to talk about and speculate, but I think it's way too early to get into 24. And let me tell you why. Let me give you two examples of why. I think the biggest problem right now, or the biggest reason that it's too early, is because there's too many balls in the air. There are simply too many things in the air. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of recent history of what can happen. Back in 1979, March 1979, President Carter was starting his last year or his last year and a half as president. At this moment, in March of 1979, he was 50-50 as far as getting reelected, but he had the advantage. He had the advantage. Most people would have told you at this point in 1979 that President Carter would be reelected. He had the advantage of getting reelected. And then everything went to hell. The next year and a half was a disaster for the country. Every possible thing went wrong, from the economy to the price of oil. There was even a rescue of the Iran hostages that didn't go well. It just seemed like everything went wrong for President Carter in the last year and a half of his presidency, and he was eventually defeated by Governor Reagan in 1980. I mean, the Carter presidency turned into a disaster the last 12 months, and obviously the American people did not reelect him. Now let's take a look at President Reagan at this point in 1983. At this point, he was also 50-50 when it came to reelection. There were lots and lots of people who didn't think he would survive the economic downturn. As you may remember, 1981, 1982, the beginning of 83, the American economy was in a recession because of the inflation that Reagan had inherited, but nevertheless, he had to handle. And there were many people. Reagan had suffered some tough losses in the 82 midterms. He took a real beating in those midterms. And at this point in 1983, a lot of people were wondering if President Reagan would be reelected. I mean, there were some concerns. I mean, it wasn't a done deal, to say the least, at this point in 1983. But then the opposite of Jimmy Carter happened. Everything went right. The American economy went right. Just the general sense of satisfaction in the country went right. So when people went to vote in November 1984, people said, yeah, we'll keep Reagan. And he was reelected by 49 states and 60% of the popular vote. And these are the two examples of recent history of what could happen over the last year and a half, over the next year and a half. Things could go well, and that would benefit a reelection of President Biden, or things could go really bad, and that would obviously hurt the reelection of President Biden. I think that there's three things that are these three balls in the air that I'm talking about that are going to be very complicated. The first one is the economy, specifically inflation, and talk of a recession. I just saw an article in the Dallas Morning News that a majority of economists are now saying recession. Well, if that's true, that's bad news for the Democrats, whoever the nominee is. That's very bad news. Inflation is very bad news. I just noticed, for example, that gasoline is going up again. You know, it went down for a little bit there for a few weeks, but now it's back up to $2.99 again. So it's going back up to where it was before. So inflation, gasoline, the economy, a potential recession, that's all bad news for the incumbent Democrats. The border is bad news for the Democrats. I mean, it's just bad news, and that doesn't seem to get any better down there. And here is the wild card. Here's the one that could really hurt the Democrats, because it certainly hurt President Carter in the example that I was using going back to 1979, and that's the international situation. A lot of crazy things going on in the world right now. A lot of crazy things are going on. China, Taiwan, Ukraine, Russia. You're now hearing about Iranian ships going down to South America. There's just a lot of crazy things happening in the world. And at any moment, you could have a real crisis. And that, again, would be difficult for the incumbent. So at this point, we don't know about 2024. I think there's too much speculation, but I will tell you that there's some balls in the air, and how those balls come down and how they break and who they benefit is going to have a lot to say about 2024 and whether the country wants to keep the Democrats or the country wants to go in a different direction. My sense is that the country will want to go in a different direction, because some of these balls in the air are going to be very negative for the Democrats. But we have to wait. And I think that President Trump made a big mistake in getting in as early as he did. And I think, on the other hand, Governor DeSantis was very smart and not getting in and simply talking about policy, going around and talking about the things that are working in Florida. So that's, I think Governor DeSantis was a little smarter in how he's playing his options right now. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We'll talk to you later, and have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye, everybody.